If you have been told 20 years ago that you still exist as a band, would you have believed it?
No way. No way, man. We started the band as a side project. Like, it was just for fun. It was just, we were all in other bands, and it was just something on the side, you know, to do, you know, maybe till the end of the school year, you know, and because it was my last year of high school. And also our old guitar player, Richard, it was his last year of high school too. So we both knew we were going to go to university, and we figured that that would be the end of the band. So maybe we had from when we started in January until like September when school started, and that was it. So then when we started playing shows, you know, and, you know, things started like blowing up. Like, people were really excited about the music we were playing. And we were like, well, we're just like a local band. And it was crazy. Our shows were like getting bigger than our other band's shows. And we were like, wow, there's like something here. So Paul, our drummer Paul, he fought to kind of keep us together, I think, even though Richard, our guitar player, went to school in Vancouver on the other side of the country. You know, he kept, tried to keep the band together. And eventually Richard had to quit the band because he was staying out there in BC. But we kept it going, and it's been a steady climb, man. Like, we never had a goal like this, to play, like, you know, sold out here in Cologne, whatever amount of people, thousands of people, but it was just, we worked up to that. So it's kind of crazy.
Was there a specific moment where you realized, oh, maybe we should stick together as a band?
I mean, I think we weren't really that sure what we were doing until we got the phone call from Victory Records saying we want to sign you guys. I think until then we were all kind of content with the band just being for fun, you know, something we did on the weekends. But then when Victory Records, you know, literally called us and said we want to sign you, we said, okay, well, we'll give this a real shot. You know, we'll quit school, we'll quit our jobs, and we'll get in the van, and we'll see if this is, you know, something feasible for a future, or even not even that, even just, hey, maybe this will be fun for a couple years. And that couple years has turned into like 17 years of touring.
What kind of job would you have if Silverstein hadn't been successful?
Well, I was taking science in school, so probably something nerdy like that. I was taking molecular biology, so I was kind of interested in genetics and, you know, some of that, you know, gene mapping and all that stuff that's, you know, gotten actually quite, it's kind of amazing how far that's come in 20 years and all the new technology. So probably something in that field, but I don't know, I'm very passionate about music. I think maybe something else would have worked out in music, whether it was, you know, doing something like as a record company or like on that side of it, or you know, something in music business. I don't know, but I was studying science, so I'll say science.
Okay. Is there anything as a band, like a specific choice or song that you regret?
No, I mean, not really. I think like anyone that says in their life they wouldn't go back and change anything, like, I think they're lying to themselves, because I think when you know the outcome, you'd always go back and try to change something here or there. But, you know, I mean, we've learned from our mistakes, and that's the biggest thing, you know, just trying to, you know, whether it's a tour we shouldn't have done, or even like a couple of our albums maybe could have been better, could have worked with different producers, could have, you know, all these things, we made the choices we made, and we made them for a reason. So you can't really fault that. But yeah, definitely there's a few things.
Do you play a song that you don't want to play anymore, but people really love it?
No, not really. I mean, I don't have, like, personally, I don't have like a problem with any of our songs so deeply that I wouldn't play them. You know, there's ones I like more than others. But like a good example is a song called Still Dreaming, which was on Arrivals and Departures, which is maybe our worst album. And that song, I always kind of hated it, because I never really liked the lyrics. Our old guitar player wrote them, and I didn't like them. And you know, so we worked on them together. It wasn't all him. It was partly my fault too that they aren't good. But I just didn't like the song. And then this last year we put out an album called Redux, and we re-recorded a bunch of old songs, and we re-recorded that one differently. And I think that it finally took on a nice shape, and I'm happy with it. And now we're playing that song live, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. And how does it feel that you still play songs that you wrote around like 15 years ago?
Yeah, we write songs that I wrote 20 years ago. I mean, yeah. It's cool. I mean, I think it's really rad that those songs have transcended generations, you know? Like, what, they weren't just of that era, you know? They meant more to where now people are discovering them now, and they're still getting the same emotional response and the same feeling out of it, you know? And when music can do that, and I'm not saying only our music does that, so much music does that, but the fact that we're in that category and we can say, oh wow, this record came out 15, you know, Discovering the Waterfront came out 15 years ago, and people still are, pardon the pun, discovering it, not to mention, you know, just jamming out to it, like, it's pretty cool.
Today you play the whole album, Discovering the Waterfront. Why did you decide to take this album and not the first album?
Well, we just did the first album actually last year because it turned 15 last year. So we did an anniversary tour for that one. It was great. It was fun. But Discovering the Waterfront's a special album to our fans. It's, for a lot of people, it's the first one they heard. And we play a lot of songs from it, whether it's, you know, Always, like Smile When You Sleep, or My Heroine, or Call It Karma. Those have been staples of the set list for a long time, and we just figured it made a lot of sense to play the whole thing from start to finish, and a lot of people really are excited about that. And, you know, it really is the album that I think started it all for us. Our first album was special too, but I think the second one was really the one that cemented us as, okay, these guys aren't essing around.
Yeah. It was also my first album that I heard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. Exactly.
Yeah. For the last album, you changed your record label again to UNFD.
Yep.
Was there a specific reason to do it?
Well, yeah, we always change record labels.
Yeah, I saw.
We've been on four in our career. We've been on four different record labels. And, you know, I think these days, with the way the music industry is constantly changing, I think that that's a good thing. I mean, every time we sign to a label, you know, or we're like free agents again, the record deal is over, we look at the climate and we look at the music industry and we say, okay, what's going on? What is, you know, who can help us the most at this time with these albums? And, you know, back when we signed to Rise Records, at the time it was like a great fit, you know, with everything they were doing, especially like some of the work they were doing on YouTube. Like, they had such a great YouTube channel, and that was really important at that time. Now, a big thing is streaming. So we wanted to find the label that we thought had the best streaming, you know, plans and methods, and, you know, on the business side. And UNFD was right at the top of the list. And, you know, them being from Australia, and they just have such a great staff. You know, we know so many of their staff from them working at other labels. So it was a great fit for us. And so far, I mean, we haven't put the album out yet, but so far so good, and they've been really, really great to work with.
Do you think it's a good thing that the music industry is always changing, or do you think?
Well, I don't know about a good thing, but you have to know, you have to react to it. You know, you can't just be set in your ways and try to do things the same way that you did them in 2003 when our first album came out. It's completely different. You know, back then nobody bought CDs. Sorry, back then old people only bought CDs. There was no digital music. There was no streaming. Even vinyl records weren't popular at that point. So it was all CD, all trying to get your CD excuse me, into a store and sell as many as you could of these little discs. And now no one buys the discs. Now you're trying to get people to listen to your music on a service that they pay a monthly fee for. It's really changed, you know? Music videos are completely different now. They used to play them on TV, they don't anymore. So, you know, so much has changed and you have to adapt. And you have to be constantly right there with every change.
A beautiful place to drown. Seems like from the outside everything looks good, but from time to time something puts you down. What was the reason to name your album Lexus?
Well, you know, all of our albums, I mean, the names are pretty indicative of the songs and indicative of the time that we came up with them. I mean, they all have a real meaning. Even Discovering the Waterfront, that was about us going to each coast of the United States, like seeing the world, you know. And then something like Arrivals and Departures was an extension of that, talking about the comings and goings, all the flights and things we had to take. And Rescue was about mental health. And, you know, that's I'm Alive and Everything I Touch had a specific meaning too about, you know, our lives. So we're always trying to find that. And I think right now in the world, the title is really perfect because in so many ways, the world has gotten so much better. You know, some of the social programs that are out there now, you know, for example, like in America, gay people have the right to marry. It's great, right? But then at the same time, there's so much negativity. There's so much people that are trying to tear down the progress. And that's kind of where the drowning comes in. So the record touches on those subjects. And, you know, I think you look outside and it's so nice out there, and there's so much convenience, and you can go on Amazon and you can order something and it can be in your door the next day, and wow, that's amazing. But then you wonder, like, are people happier, right? Are we happier? Are we just looking at our phones and we're having so much anxiety because there's so much going on now? So it's kind of it's a comment on that. But if you want to ask about the origin of where the name came from, it's from a sign Paul Mark found online beside the ocean in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And it says, a beautiful place to drown. And it has a picture of a Grim Reaper. And the names of all the people that have died on that beach have drowned. So we were like, whoa, that's intense. Let's use it. Yeah. That's what happened.
Okay. So I had the opportunity to listen to it. Now it's not released. It will release in March. It has a very different sound for me. Like, a few songs are harder, a few are softer, but the first thing that I noticed was that that you have many features on this album.
Yeah.
Was there a specific reason for this?
Well, we've done features in the past, like Shipwreck in the Sand had a bunch of them, and Rescue had one or two. I think, you know, a lot of times with features we ask people and we try to get them on. And if it doesn't work out, we don't ask anyone else, because we're asking someone for a reason. They're the perfect person for this song and this part, so we asked them. And we got lucky this time that everyone said yes. So we asked Intervals to do the solo. Yeah, he did it. If he didn't want to do it, maybe we wouldn't have got it someone else. And then Pierre Bouvier from Simple Plan, like, he was the guy. Aaron Gillespie was the guy. Princess Nokia, it had to be her. So when, you know, we just got lucky, I guess, that everybody was available and everybody, you know, they weren't on tour, they were able to record it, their record labels said yes, all the red tape sometimes you have to cut through wasn't there. And, you know, we're not going to force features if they're not perfect for the part, and, like, these all were.
Yeah. But Princess Nokia was really surprising.
Yeah, she's a huge fan of our band. And we met her, she came out to our show in New York City, and we met her, and she was so lovely, and then that just, like, right away got me thinking, like, I mean, you know, in the back of my head, there's a lot of things in the back of my head, but in the back of my head I was like, maybe one day it could be cool. And then when we wrote Madness, it seemed like just the perfect spot for it.
For me too. Like, I listened to the song and was like, at first I was a bit like, really? Princess Nokia? Is she, like, really fitting to the song?
Right.
But after hearing it, it was really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, that's That's definitely the whole thing with features, is it like it has to be perfect for us, because I think in music these days, so especially mainstream music, like you'll download an album or look at an album on Spotify or something, and it's like half the songs have features, and like some of them it's like, why do they need that many? But I feel like these ones are all great. They all make the songs better.
One song is called Bad Habits. Do you have any bad habits, or are you working on it, or do you accept those things?
I have only bad habits.
Only?
Yeah, I have lots of bad habits for sure. I mean, you know, whether it's forgetting to brush my teeth, drinking too much, gambling too much, you name it. Yeah, I do plenty of things wrong. We're all human and we all make mistakes, and sometimes those bad habits can feel pretty good though, unfortunately.
And are you working on it too?
I mean, sure, I always try to better myself, you know, every way I can, but of course we're only so capable of bettering ourselves, right, before the thoughts and the devil on your shoulder comes back. www.kölncampus.com www.kölncampus.com